朋友们，同学们，你好。Okay, my lesson will improve. Next week it'll be better. Well, probably next month it'll be better. That'll probably be the next time I see you. Something very special took place this past Friday. It's a very special day in the African American community, and really for the entire country. Does anybody know what happened? What happened on Friday? Martin Luther King, yes. People remembered the 40th anniversary of Martin Luther King's death. And throughout most of the country and on most of the newscasts, they played a very special video. It was the last speech that he made just before he was assassinated. And he was assassinated the day after he made this speech. And it was called, "I Have Been to the Mountaintop." That was the name of the speech. It's on YouTube. If you have not seen it in the newscast, please, please see it. And that's because, now Martin Luther King, he was a great orator. And for those of you who probably don't do well in public speaking, I want to give you some hope. Martin Luther King, when he was in school, I don't know whether it was college or seminary, you know what he received in public speaking? He received a C. He received a C, one of the greatest speakers of our time. But what he had to say this special day before he was assassinated, 40 years ago last Friday, was so very special. You see, he lived during a time when they had Jim Crow laws in the South. They told people that you were less than a man. You were less than a woman. You were no more than property. So they had colored drinking fountains and they had white drinking fountains. And it was not a good time in American history. But Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was a man who believed in the Word of God. And he believed that you should bless when you are cursed. And so what he said to them at that time is, he says, "Oh, isn't it wonderful that we live in a country like we do today that was founded on God's principles? A country where you can stand up to an unjust system, fight it with all your might, never accept it, and yet not stoop to violence and hatred in the process." And he told us, audience, this is what we have today. And he was trying to give them hope with the words of the Lord Jesus. And he told them the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he said, "This is why I am here with you today." He said, "Because I want to show the love of God to you. And I want to let you know that we can stand up against injustice. And that God will be with us because of it." And then he shared something that was disheartening to them. He says, "I know that this is possible," he says, "because I have been to the mountaintop and I have seen the promised land." And then he said, "I may not get there with you." He knew he was going to die. He said, "But that's okay." He says, "I am unafraid because mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord." And so, he could be unafraid when he was killed by an assassin bullet. And the course of history in the United States would be changed because, not just of what he said, because they killed the dreamer, they killed Dr. Martin Luther King, but they could not kill his dream because his vision and his goals came from God. And you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Stephen. That's why this message is titled, "A Heavenly Defense." Stephen, he is full of grace and the Holy Spirit and the power of God. And he's looking up into heaven. And he sees, way off there in the upper left-hand corner anyway, the glory of God. and he's not afraid. He knows that he's going to die. But his eyes have seen the glory of the coming of God, and he knows that his death, he knows that his death will not be in vain, because his life has an eternal purpose that won't die with him. However, this is not true of everyone. Unfortunately, there are many who are courageous heroes throughout the world who, though they stand up for what they believe, they will die in vain. Or at least maybe they think so. I remember in 1989, I was supposed to get on a plane and go to Tiananmen Square in Beijing. I had meetings near Tiananmen Square. You know what happened in Tiananmen Square in 1989? What happened? Yes. Student demonstrations, revolution. They told me, Craig, you can't get on the plane today. You're at the airport, but we don't care. There are tanks rolling down the street. There may be bullets flying. You need to stay at home. Something is happening in China, and specifically in Beijing. And then I remember seeing the picture of a lone man standing in the middle of the street, and there was a tank in front of him. And the tank was rolling forward and thought the man was going to get out of the way. And what did he do? He stood still. And so the tank decided, I'll go over here to the left. I'll go around the man. And you know what the man did? He moved to the left. And then the tank said, I'm going to go to the right. And then the man said, I'm going to move to the right. He stood his ground. And finally, the soldier in the tank, in desperation, stopped the tank and just opened up the lid. And the man, he just vanished. He jumped over the fence and left. I don't know what happened to that man in the end. I don't know where he is today. And I don't know whether he felt that his stand for what he believed made a difference or not. But Stephen's stand for what he believes makes a difference. And what I want you to get out of the message that you're going to hear today is that for the Christian, God provides us with a different perspective and a heavenly defense when we are in situations like that. Because we're doing it for His purposes. And He wants us to stand up for what we believe. And in those moments, God's Holy Spirit will let you know you are resisted fiercely by people who don't understand the presence of God in your life. They will resist not you, but they're resisting me. What I want you to get out of today's message is that God's Holy Spirit in us gives us wisdom at that time and helps us to see Jesus in ways that we never have before. And finally, what I want you to get out of today's message is that regardless of the outcome, whether you live or whether you die, whether you're embarrassed or whether you lose your job, that God will accomplish His purposes through you and He will be glorified. And if you look at that situation closely, you too will be able to see the glory of God. Now, all of this is important because we all want to feel that our lives have meaning, right? And that our lives have a purpose. Wouldn't you like to know that you're going to be remembered after you die by someone, that it wasn't in vain? And more importantly, as we face life's difficult situations today, where our faith is challenged in even very small ways, you know, you don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid of what you believe and the fact that you are a Christian and you take a stand on things that other people will not. Because in those moments, you will also be able to hear God speak through His Word. And maybe if you're listening closely and if you're looking closely at that situation, you'll also be able to see the face of Jesus. So let us pray. Let us read our text together. And let's talk about this more. Father in heaven, we are grateful for who you are and what you want to accomplish in our lives. God, we're here not because we're good this morning, but because we're yours. We want to hear what you have to say. Forgive us our sins, Lord God. Forgive the one who is speaking this morning. We would only see Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, open your Bibles, if you have them, to Acts chapter 7. We're going to look at verses 51 through 58 today. Next slide, please. If you don't have your Bibles, we have it up there, but I think the print is a little bit small, so I apologize. Those of you in the front can probably see it. But anyway, why don't we go ahead and recite that? Oh, I tell you, I'm going to let you recite it in Chinese, and I will learn. Please.
阿们。Next slide, please.
That's an amazing passage, isn't it? It looks like this guy is pretty angry in what he's saying. And I know that you have studied Acts chapter 7 before. But we're going to talk about what is really going on here. Is he angry? Or is he, in what he's saying, Stephen, is being loving? Is there a way to do that? You see, what you're really seeing in these scriptures is the fact that Stephen, as a Jewish Christian, has a very different worldview than the traditional Jews that are his friends. They are his brothers and sisters as Jews, not in Christ. And you know what they believe? Their traditions are beginning to teach them the way men's traditions today do. That man is basically what? What do people tell you? Man is basically good, right? Man is basically good. That's what people will tell you today. And anybody who opposes this idea from the world's point of view is not good. And they're going to be opposed. Or they just think they're foolish. They're stupid, you know. However, the Bible tells us that man is sinful and God alone is good. That's what it says in Romans 3:23. And in addition, for those who are his, Christians, he enables them to do good things. He enables us to have the righteous life of Christ lived out in us by faith. And that's what's going on with the disciple Stephen here. We're going to give you some background. Because Stephen here, who's referred to in our text, is such a man. Look at Acts chapter 6. Beginning of Acts chapter 6. I don't think it's up here. Okay? Some of the words are up here. But basically, if you look at the beginning of Acts chapter 6, it says that Stephen was filled with the Holy Spirit and faith. That he was a man full of God's grace and power. And he did wonders and miraculous signs among the people. He was one of the seven that was chosen by the disciples and Christians and approved by the apostles to serve the Christians in a very special way. Stephen was that guy. But you know something? They hated him for it. They hated a man who did miracles and wonders among the people, who served with compassion. And you know why they hated him? It wasn't because he did these good things. It was because he said it was because of Jesus. They couldn't stand that. The world can't stand that, many of you today. When they see you doing things differently, if you say to them, it's because I believe in Jesus, they're going to look at you differently. And some of you they've already looked at differently. The God wants you to stand your ground, just the way Stephen did among the religious people. And the religious people say, you know, we're smart people. We've studied. We've gone to school. And we want to tell you that this thing about Jesus, he was just a man. He's dead. And then the Holy Spirit, the Bible says in Acts chapter 6, gave Stephen wisdom that they could not even stand up against. That's the background coming into this particular chapter. Stephen has been blessed. And so they decided we can't get Stephen any other way, so we're going to lie about him. And we're going to have him brought up on charges before the Jewish High Council, the Sanhedrin. And you know what happened when he got into the trial? Stephen was innocent. God knew it. And the people realized this was not going to be a normal trial, because they said in the Bible, in chapter 6, that Stephen's face was like the face of an angel. How many of you have seen the face of an angel? You don't have to answer that. I don't know how many people are going to believe it anyway, but that's okay. But if you can imagine what the face was like, there are descriptions of angels in the Bible, okay? And their faces just shine with radiance and glory at times. So perhaps Stephen's face was like that. They couldn't stop Stephen, and then they heard Stephen speak. And what Stephen was actually doing is he was experiencing the words of Jesus as his disciple. Look at Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. I invite you to read along in the Chinese as I read along in English here. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 13. I don't think it's up here. There's a summary of it on the screen. And I also want someone to look at John chapter 15, 20 for me and repeat that afterwards. But as we read Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 through 13, it says here in the English version, and as you read in Chinese, "Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me." This is Jesus speaking. "Rejoice and be glad." You're suffering. He's saying be glad. "Because great is your reward in heaven." That's why he wants us to be glad. "For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." And what does it say in John 15, 20? Someone read it, just read it out loud in Chinese. What does it say? John 15, 20. Exactly. If they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. I'm hoping, Louis, that's what you said, right? And so, at this point, actually, you know what's going on also? Things are getting worse between the Jewish Christians and the traditional Jews. They are getting sick and tired of these Christians. And so the first thing they did in Acts chapter 4, 17, they threatened them. And in Acts chapter 5, verse 17, they flogged them and put them in jail. And now they're finally going to cross the line the same way they did with Christ. And though they do not have the authority, they are going to kill Stephen. They're going to silence this man, they think to themselves, once and for all. Stephen is about to become a martyr. But do you know what the word martyr means? Martyr means witness. The word means witness. Stephen is about to witness to the glory of God. And what they should have known about him, because they were religious people and they called themselves God's people. But he's about to tell them, you don't know anything about God at all. You have no idea why you've experienced what you've experienced. And that's why in Acts 6:15, his face is shining like that of an angel. Stephen is about to let them have it. But you see, it's not Stephen. You see, the Holy Spirit is going to be speaking through Stephen. It's God who's going to let these people have it. And you know something? When you're being told off by God, I don't know if you've ever been told off by somebody. You've been told off by your friends or family members. I hope you've never been told off by your family members, okay? In terms of them complaining about you. Okay? They are about to be complained and criticized very harshly for what they thought they were believing. They thought they were doing the right thing. Now, Brother Ing Chong, in a previous sermon, he described this amazing defense that was made by Stephen in Acts chapter 7. And he told you how Stephen talked to them about the role of the law given to the Jews and their role they should have played in worship, what they were supposed to understand. But in our passage today, we just read, Stephen has reached a conclusion about their behavior that he shares with them. And look how they react. They're furious, right? The passage we read before, they were really angry. This is what happens to us many times today as well when we speak to people about the gospel truth. Because you see, the gospel is more than just the words of Jesus. It's also about standing up to injustice when you see it around you. It's about speaking out about things that God brings into our view, where the people need to know how he feels about abortion, about evolution, about racism, about poverty, and a materialistic worldview that lacks compassion, that says it's all about me. This is what your children are being exposed to, and this is what Western culture is being exposed to, and this is what you see in the commercials on TV. So that's the background I want you to have as we look at the first point that I'd like to make today. Stephen is a martyr, but he's a witness to what has happened, and he's going to witness to the Jews about their history. And so what does he say to them here? You stiff-necked people! You have uncircumcised hearts. You know what that's like to Jewish people? It's like calling them a dog. It's like calling them a dog. Stiff-necked people. If you were insulted by someone who said they were your friend, how would you feel? Those people are coughing, I guess. They don't really want to say how they really feel about it. It's like, well, hey, I'm going to give them a piece of my mind. I'm going to let them know exactly what I think about their friendship. How dare they criticize me? But you see, what he's actually doing by criticizing them, he's not attacking them. He's not attacking them at all. He's the prophetic voice of God. He's telling them how God feels. You see, they've heard this before, but they didn't take it to heart. They heard it in passages like Deuteronomy 9:13, where Moses reminded them that God said this of them. He called their neck stiff because they wouldn't bend to God's will. That's what it means to be stiff-necked. You don't bend yourself to the will of God. You seek your own will first and not God's will. Although you're religious, you have the appearance of being a good person, but inside, there are bad things there. Stiff-necked. Moses warns them that to do this, it won't go well with them in the promised land. And Stephen goes through the Jewish history to tell them that. And in Jeremiah 9:26, God warns his people to not trust in their religious virtue, but to humble themselves before him and boast only in the Lord. And that's why he refers to them as having an uncircumcised heart. And for us today, that's what it means for our hearts to be circumcised. Our hearts are circumcised by faith and the presence of God's Holy Spirit. But the Jews had developed a religion that relied mostly on their traditions at this point. This is about 30 to 40 A.D. And they had not changed in this side. So they couldn't hear God speak. Their hearts were cold. They had the appearance of being good people. And so Stephen is not attacking them. He's trying to explain to them the goal is not your religious tradition. The goal is not the point that you come to church every Sunday. The goal is not the point that you even obey the Ten Commandments. He says the goal is Jesus. But you know what happened with Jesus? You killed him. But guess what? I was one of you too. I was a stiff-necked person just like you are. And the same with me. Before I became a Christian, I was stiff-necked. I bent my will to myself. I did not care about the things of God. And so he was offering them an opportunity to change their minds. He wanted to let them know that there was still hope. He wanted to lead them to Christ. But you know what the Bible says? That only the Holy Spirit can reveal the truth to people. And that we couldn't hear either before we became Christians because of unbelief in our life. Our hearts had been hardened because of sin and deceitfulness. And so we had to change. We had to stop pleasing ourselves, seeking a lifestyle where we could have power and just a good lifestyle just for ourselves and our families, and consider the things of God. Now, some people today who call themselves Christians still don't understand this. And, you know, I was in charge at my job years ago of putting together a Christmas party. And when I tried to put together this Christmas party, I did it with a person who was one of the directors of the HR department. And this was, a regular commercial company. I will, to protect the innocent here who may still work for this company, I won't say the name of the company. But my friend was supposed to be a Christian. But you know what they told me that particular day? Listen, we're going to put together this party, this Christmas party. But I always have believed that religion is a very private matter. And we have Muslims. And we have Buddhists who are here. And we have atheists, people who are scientists are here. So you know what? Craig, I want you to help me with the program. But don't talk about God. Don't talk about Jesus. Find some other kind of fun songs to sing. And I looked at them and I said, you're a Christian. Christmas has Christ in it. If it's not about Christ, then what is it about? And they said, well, then maybe we won't call it Christmas party. We'll call it a holiday party. Isn't that what happens at your job sometimes? We'll call it a holiday party. That happens at your schools. Your kids face that all the time. We'll call it a holiday party. And I said, but what about the songs? She said, well, you know something? Privately, I believe in God, but nobody else really has to know that. So if you are going to, if you are going to come up with songs about Jesus, she says, I don't care if they're religious songs, then you don't need to be a part of this committee. So you know what I did? I quit the committee. I left. I had no choice. Because I heard the words of Jesus speaking to me then. I heard the Holy Spirit speaking to me. And I let them know, this person know, religion is not a private matter when it comes to Christ. And you know, the Bible says that if you are afraid in your job situation, your rich situation with friends, to be Jesus' witnesses, and if you're afraid to serve in the community and let people know what Christ means to you, Jesus has this warning in Matthew chapter 25, verse 41. Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you did not clothe me. We forget about people who are laid out in the street. Sometimes we think they're drunk, and we want to forget about them. And it says here, I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me. Has anybody here, within the last year, been to visit anyone in prison? Think about that. This is what Jesus is saying. Oh, but he says, for those who obey him, he says, the righteous will go away to eternal life. The same passage. Because the righteous here, Jesus speaks to them through the Holy Spirit. He gives them wisdom for moments like this where they don't know what to do, so they can do God's will and be his witnesses. In John chapter 10, verse 27, you know what Jesus says? He says, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me. They do the things that Jesus did. Let's go to the next slide, please. It's the Holy Spirit that reveals the truth to us. God's Holy Spirit in us gives us wisdom and helps us to see Jesus the way we never have before. And that's what's going on with Stephen in these following verses here. Because you see, he's just reached this conclusion about the Jewish people. And you know what? They are so upset at him. And this is not Stephen's fault. He's sitting there. He's making his defense. His face is shining like that of an angel. The Jewish people should have known this is a different situation. This is not like the other trials we've had. And then all of a sudden, he looks up into heaven. And you know what he sees? He sees a vision of Christ. And Christ told him to expect him, that he was going to the Father. And he would be sitting down at God's right hand. But guess what? Jesus is not sitting down. He's standing up. And do you know why? He's standing up because he's acknowledging that Stephen is his. Jesus is saying, those who acknowledge me before men in situations like this, I will also acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. He's getting a standing ovation from Jesus. Wouldn't that be a great way to have, to experience an encounter with non-believers? To think to yourself, by your witness, Jesus has given you a standing ovation because you stand up for what is right. Not so much because of the words, but because of what is in your heart. Stephen had the right things in his heart here. You see, previously in Acts chapter 6, these men began to argue with Stephen, but they could not stand up against his wisdom. That's what happens in these situations. Jesus promised this. Stephen has experienced all Jesus promised. Look at Mark chapter 13, verse 11. Mark chapter 13, verse 11. He's finding out about some pretty important things here. This is what it says. It says, you read along in the Chinese, I read along in the English. I'm sorry it's not up on the board. But whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at this time. For it is not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. Stephen is not speaking to the Jewish people. You see, they think they're being insulted by Stephen. You stiff-necked people. But they are being criticized by God. God is saying, you killed my messengers. You killed my Messiah. But I still love you. There's still a chance. You've insulted me. It is not me who is insulting you. That's what he's saying. And now he's confirming that Stephen is using his words by giving Stephen a glimpse of heaven. But you know what? He's using the same words Jesus did. So they don't have any choice. They're going to have to kill him. They're going to have to kill him. Now, you're going to be tested and challenged today the same way. Now, you may not have to be in a situation of life and death, but you do have brothers and sisters in the faith who are facing situations of life and death. They're in China. They're in Africa. They're in Indonesia. They're in India. And today they are being burned at the stake. They're really literally, oil is being poured on them. Some of them is harassment, okay, of various kinds. And even in this country, situations come up from time to time, shootings, and people are killed for their faith. Will your kids be in a situation like that? Will you be in a situation like that at work? And will you know what to do? Sometimes it won't involve threats, but a conversation. Creationism versus evolution. Where do you stand on it? My daughter, the first year that she was at college, you know what happened to her? She was on campus and she was walking on the campus and she didn't have on a ribbon that she was supposed to have that day. And you know what the original ribbon was supposed to say? I identify with Gay Pride Day. That's what your kids are facing on college campus. And so someone came up to her and said, why don't you have on one of these ribbons? And they challenged her and said, I know why you don't have one of these ribbons on. You're one of those homosexual hating Christians, right? That's why you don't have a ribbon on. And my daughter looked at them. You see, she didn't prepare what she was going to say. She didn't know that was going to happen. She didn't even know it was Gay Pride Day. But she said to them, you know something? I don't have no ribbon. But God has told me that He loves you. He loves you as homosexuals the same way He loves me as a Christian. But it's wrong for people to lust after each other, regardless of whether they're heterosexual or homosexual. It's wrong. But I still love you, and I still want to talk to you, and I want you to let you know that God loves you. No, I don't have on your ribbon, but that doesn't mean that I don't care. I love you. You know, yes, words like that, there's no defense. Those words didn't come from my daughter. That was God speaking through her, giving her what to say. And when people talk to you about universalism, how all roads lead to God, and that Jesus is not the only way, God will also give you strength. When they say that you're a religious fanatic because you believe in the Bible, then God will be there with you and show you that the Bible does make a difference. Just always remember the perspective comes from God. He is the God of wisdom and glory who changes the course of history just because of your witness. When I was a teenager in high school, it happened to me. I became a Christian while I was in high school. And I had to read a book. And I had to do a report that I thought was just about the worst book and report in the world. It's full of all kinds of objectionable material, obscenities, all kinds of other things. Don't let your children go through that. If you see that at the school and your child says, I'm uncomfortable because I don't know what to do with my faith, help them. Go to school, talk to the teachers. See if there's an alternate solution, another option. God will give you what to say. God gave me what to say. I went to the teacher. I prayed about this because I had no idea what the teacher was going to say. Maybe she would just fail me. And I say, look, here's what I believe. These are my values. And I know the lesson you want to teach me through this story. But I would like to do it a different way. I'd like to use a different report and a different book. And you see, in moments like that, God will reach out and touch their hearts. God says, the king's heart is in my hand. It's me who decides what they're going to say. And the teacher looked at me and said, you know what? I thought it might be a problem for you. You can do a different report. And that's okay. I did a different report. I learned the same things as everybody else. But I also had a chance to share with people what I really believe. And God was with me at that particular time. And God will be with you when you stand up for injustice. At not just the school for your kids. Stand up at injustice at work. People humiliate people at work. They say things they shouldn't. They treat people in different ways. They harass women. They say bad things about different races out there. You can make a difference. You can stand up against that. And God will provide you a way to handle the situation. Now, God says there's only one caveat. And it's in 1 Peter 3:15. And do you know what that caveat is? He says, when you do this, be ready. But do it with gentleness and respect. And that's what's happening here with Stephen. He's doing what God tells him to do. And he is no longer afraid. In Luke chapter 12, verse 8, as I told you before, it says, I tell you, whoever acknowledges me before men, the Son of Man will also acknowledge him before the angels of God. But who disowns me before men will be disowned before the angels of God. You are not allowed not to have an opinion. I'm sorry. You're a Christian. And there are matters where you have to stand up. And it will cost you something. What I have up here is a quotation that says, he is no fool who gives what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. That's a famous quotation by a guy named Jim Elliot. No, he was. He's a college student who became a missionary. And he went into Ecuador to work with people whose language he didn't even know. They didn't speak Spanish. They spoke some other language there. And he said that. But you know where he got it from? He got it from Jesus. Jesus, he's remembered for these words, but he got it from Jesus. From Mark chapter 8, verse 34. It costs you something to be a Christian, and he lost his life. He was martyred for his faith because he was a witness to God's glory. But it meant something. It cost him something, but he didn't die in vain. And the movie is called The End of the Spear. If you would like to see it sometime, it's a wonderful movie. I encourage you to do that. But I'm going to give you one more lesson before we begin to close from history. A guy named Martin Luther. Anybody remember who Martin Luther was? Martin Luther. What did he do? 1517. What did he do? 95 articles. Yes, Pastor, thank you. You learned your lessons well in seminary there. He nailed these petitions. He nailed petitions to the door of the Catholic Church. And you said to yourself, big deal. A guy hammered a nail with some petitions to the door of the Catholic Church. But you have no idea. In 1517, unless they thought you were drunk for doing that, you know what happened? They put you on a table and they disemboweled you. Wow, you were awake. They took out your intestines and your guts until you said you were wrong for what you did. And he was in trouble. He was in serious trouble. His friends told him, you know, you better hope they think you were drunk when you did this. And you know why he did it? He said to the Catholic Church, it is wrong for you to sell indulgences. It is wrong for you to tell people that you can have forgiveness of sins by paying a sum of money. You cannot get your relatives out of hell or purgatory. They are not going to be forgiven by their sins. For their sins, for paying some money. But that's what the Catholic Church was doing. You know why? They wanted to build Vatican City. They wanted to build it up. And Martin Luther said, no. And then he realized, when he was sitting in jail the day before the trial, boy, I'm in trouble. He realized he could be disemboweled for this. He could be killed for this. And you know what happened? At that moment, God revealed himself to him because he humbled himself before God. And he got on his knees. And he says, God, I don't know what I'm doing. I must have been crazy. But I think I'm doing this because you're with me and that you wanted me to do this. So please, please help me. And the story goes that Martin Luther, it's a great film if you haven't seen it. It came out in 2003. It's on videotape right now. The story of Martin Luther. You can see it. Short. Look at it with your kids. Great story to look at and explain it to them. But what happened to him is all of a sudden he felt the peace of God come on him. And when he went into that trial, they hired the best lawyer in the land, religious lawyer, to go up against them. He could not stand up against them. He told them they were wrong. And they said, Martin Luther, you're a wise man. Don't you know what this means? And you know what he says? Yes, I do. And you're wrong. And they said, well, listen, you are one of us. We're going to give you one more chance. All you have to do is say you made a mistake. And you know what he said? No. And that's what God is asking you to do. In those situations where there's injustice, stand up and say, it's wrong. Your faith will cost you something. And it cost Martin Luther something. You know what happened? They were going to kill him afterwards when they let him go. But he was kidnapped. But you know what happened? Unlike Stephen and unlike Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Martin Luther was not going to die. Wondrous things were going to happen. Although Germany was going to almost experience civil war because of what happened. Go to the next slide, please. You see, there was a great outcome because God's Holy Spirit always accomplishes His purpose. And for Martin Luther, the purpose of God was that Martin Luther, instead of being killed, was going to be kidnapped by his sponsor, his benefactor, the person that paid his bill. And yet he didn't know it. And he was going to hide him because he was concerned. He knew Martin Luther was going to be killed. He was going to become a martyr. He didn't want that to happen. And do you know why God allowed that to happen? The people did not have God's word in their language. It wasn't in Chinese. It wasn't in Spanish. It wasn't in Turkish. But now it was going to be in German. Martin Luther used that time to translate the Bible into the German. And for the very first time, everybody in Germany could make decisions themselves about what God was saying because they could hear God's word for themselves. But Martin Luther was off the streets and Germany was almost split in two. But this had to happen. There was no other way around it. And you know what else became of it? The Protestant Reformation. Millions of people were to benefit from that. You and I, we are part of the Protestant Reformation. You're Protestants. God used Martin Luther to get rid of injustice and get people like us a chance. This was the same for Stephen. Our text says that they were furious with him because of his response similar to Jesus. They yelled at the top of their voices, they ran at him, and they stoned him. Now, he didn't have, you know, painkillers like we do today, oxycodone, aspirin, Tylenol. You ever been hit in the head by a stone? It hurts. I'm telling you, when I was in China, I was too tall. And I constantly hit light bulbs. I hit the top of doorposts with my... And I'm telling you, it hurt. And I tell you, there was one, actually a couple of dangerous times. Once I put my hand up and the ceiling fan was up there. Boy, wow, not a good idea. Well, he's in a pit. Stephen is being stoned. And it doesn't feel good. But in the midst of all that, you know what he says? He uses the words of Jesus. He says, Father, don't hold this sin against him. And he falls asleep. And you know who's there? Saul. And Saul had to be there. He said to himself, the Jews are doing the right thing to kill these Christians. And a persecution came over the church they had never experienced before. And you know what happened in Jerusalem? The Christians who had enjoyed such a great time in Jerusalem were scattered. And now God could really begin the Great Commission. missionary journey started. You see, they were having a great fellowship time in Jerusalem, but they weren't going out there and preaching the word. And now they are being sent out all over the known world to preach the word of God. So you might find in your life there will be times when God will make you uncomfortable. There will be times when he will make you change jobs. There will be times when something bad will happen to you. But the reason is so that God can be glorified. And so Saul would later be converted. And he would become who? Saul became Paul. And I tell you, if Saul had not been there with Stephen, I'm not sure that would have happened. Because that's the event that God chose to use, okay, as the catalyst for Paul's life to begin his experience. He remembered Stephen, and he remembered what he did. And he remembered how good the grace of God was to him, to forgive him when he took place. And he took part in a stoning of a Christian, one of God's own. He said, God, thank you so much for forgiving me. And I know what I have to do to show your love to other people. God had to be glorified to accomplish his purposes. Okay, let's go to the last slide. And so, there's something special when you see the expression up here, mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Okay, those words were quoted by Dr. Martin Luther King, but he didn't get it from himself. He got it from Scripture. And as a Christian today, you will face similar challenges and choices in life. And they may not be life or death, but there will be things that you need to be aware of. The deaths of your brothers and sisters in China and Africa matter. If you have not visited the Voice of the Martyrs website on the internet, please do so. Your brothers and sisters in Christ are suffering in incredible ways. God expects you to become knowledgeable about them, as well as who he is and what the truth in Christ should mean in your incarnational living out of the Christian life. That's what you're expected to do, so that when trouble comes, guess what? You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be afraid. And you don't have to be ashamed of what you believed. And you don't have to worry because people make fun of you for being a Christian. And God forbid that any of you ever have to experience a public shooting. You know, the people in the colleges now who are experiencing public shootings and in the workplace who experience public shootings, they're not doing that because they want to. They didn't know that was going to happen. Will your son or daughter be ready? Will you be ready? How will you react in times of crisis? Cassie Bernal was a teenager. And the course of the events in the United States were changed because she stood up to her face, with her face, to a gunman who says, are you a Christian? And she says, yes, I love Jesus. And in 1999, she was killed. She was shot by a gunman. You have to be ready to say you love Jesus and he makes a difference in your life. And so this is what I want you to get out of here today. God's Holy Spirit in us is resisted fiercely by others who don't understand or know him. You have to expect that. But know that God has given you the knowledge of the truth and you can make a difference in that person's life no matter what they say to you. God's Holy Spirit also encourages us with wisdom and assurance so that we see things about Jesus we didn't see before. And you know what? In those times, you don't have to prepare what you're going to say. You see, you've been in fellowship if you have been in fellowship. You've been in prayer if you have been in prayer. You've been reading the Word of God if you have been reading the Word of God. And God will use those things when it matters. That's what you are right now. You're in training for the times in life that really matter. God wants you to be an overcomer so he'll be able to stand up in heaven and give you a standing ovation because of the way you live out your life. And when someone says, you don't really believe in creationism, do you? And shouldn't you be a little bit more tolerant? And come on, abortion is not that big a deal, is it? You'll be able to say, no. Yes, it does matter. It matters a lot. The outcome may not be what you expect. That's why it says God's Holy Spirit in us always accomplishes his purposes through us, regardless of the outcome. Stephen was killed. Martin Luther, the great reformer, lived. The Bible, the German Bible, came out of that. The English Bible was later to come out of that. And for Dr. Martin Luther King, You know what he said? He knew he was going to die. And we should be able to say the same thing he did. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, when he knew he was going to die, the day before his death, he said, I just want to do God's will. And he's allowed me to go up to the mountain, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. He knows what God wants to accomplish, to get rid of injustice. And he says, I may not get there with you. I may not see the end of injustice. But at the same time, I'm happy. He said that to his audience. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And so maybe one day we'll be able to say that too. Maybe you'll be able to say that. And maybe like Stephen, we will also see at that time heaven open and the Son of Man not sitting down but standing up. And you know what he'll say to you? Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being with us today. Oh God, hopefully we experience you in a new way this morning and see things about Jesus we didn't see before. But more importantly, because we have seen Jesus differently, we see ourselves and how we are to live our lives differently. God, have mercy on us. Help us to be your witnesses. Help us to stand up for injustice. Help us, Lord, to be the people you want us to be, so that you may be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray.